And now, over to Asia. To Abraham Lincoln, war was too important to be left to generals, and other presidents have had more or less the same concern about the state of the economy. It is too important to be left to economists. For example, accurate and dramatic discussion of the ballooning U.S. current account deficit, the broadest measurement of how much more Americans buy or pay out overseas than they sell or bring back, has been impeded by sterile economic parlance. Academic experts have tended to link current account deficits to federal budget deficits or to an inadequacy of national savings, explanations that have failed to motivate citizens and non-economist decision-makers, especially elected ones. A more engaging explanation might go something like this. Yes, Americans have saved too little because they consume too much. Still, there are several reasons for having consumed a steadily higher amount relative to wages. On one hand, wages aren't the same share of national income that they used to be, and over this same period, Americans, young people especially, have been increasingly fixated on consumption. As for why so much of the consumption has involved imports, in 2004, the United States imported goods worth 54% more than those it exported. Two practical explanations stand out. First, the United States competitively makes fewer and fewer manufactured goods. Second, data confirm that the 50 states produce less than half of the oil consumed here. Unelaborated jargon about savings fuddles much of the serious politics involved. The increasing U.S. dependence on manufactured and petroleum imports from East Asia and the Middle East. Asians and continental Europeans, who tend to take a more nationalistic view of trade, cannot understand how Americans can sit around with so little concern over their red, ink-stained current accounts ledgers. The British are also amazed. Neil Ferguson, a Harvard historian well-versed in economics, makes the perfectly valid point that although Britain, circa 1910, saw her manufactured exports weaken, they remained substantial. And so did fiscal conservatism in Downing Street. Thus, whereas Britain in her prime remained a lopsided creditor nation, the United States since the late 1980s has used its global sway to pursue a borrowing mode. Alas, the United States is the first leading economic power to take this path since Spain. A quarter century of public and private American affinity for debt, the term overconsumption loses the fiscal half of the message, has helped erect the largest national current account deficit the world has ever seen. Both political parties have abetted this, but the Republicans more so. In a 2004 speech to a meeting of international economists, former U.S. Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers candidly described the fiscal elephant in the American parlor. The U.S. current account deficit is currently running well in excess of $600 billion at an annual rate, in the range of 5.5% of GDP. It represents well over 1% of global GDP and absorbs close to two-thirds of the cumulative current account surpluses of all the world's surplus countries. All of these figures are without precedent. The United States has never run such large current account deficits, and no single nation's deficit has ever bulked nearly as large relative to the global economy. There is a 1990 to 2004 relationship between rise in U.S. consumption as a share of GDP and the surge in the nation's current account deficit. During this same period, though, two other measurements failed to maintain their long-assumed causal connections. For example, as the federal budget deficit metamorphosed into a surplus for 1998 to 2000, the current account deficit kept getting worse. That should not have happened. The decline of the U.S. dollar from 2002 to 2004 likewise failed as an antidote. The current account deficit widened further during that time period. The disarray in the nation's current accounts did not preoccupy George W. Bush when he became president, and the events of September 11th soon provided a compelling distraction. By 2004, however, the gravity of the deteriorating U.S. international balances could hardly be avoided. The world's number one debtor had also become its biggest borrower. in itself unprecedented, and dollar holders from Zurich to Beijing asked themselves what was likely to happen.